This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everybody. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. And today, first I'm going to start by, it is today, and it's not AI day. It is today. This is Real John Warden, and I have with me today Real Catherine Madden and Real Tom Moody. Once again, guests that have come back and, excuse me, to accommodate the idea of AI. It's the old commercials I used to think about when I was a kid that says, is it live or is it Memorex?
Memorex.
You remember those commercials and all those things? It's like what was real and you never really knew. And back in the day when the Star Trek and even back to Dick Tracy, you know, Dick Tracy was the first show that broke open that thing and you flopped that watch down and he could talk to whoever it was. And then there was the Green Hornet when he was talking, I think it was Mako. Was that his assistant? And he would flip that thing over and everybody was talking AI. And now here we are today dealing with AI every second of the day. And so the fun part about this program is going to be, do we really know what all AI can and can't do? Not sure this won't turn into a two-part, but we're going to start today and say, good morning, everybody. And I hope that you realize this is not AI. This is the real John Warden. So, again, my guests are Catherine Madden. Say good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
And that is not AI, Tom Moody.
Glad to be here. Nice to see everybody.
That sounded AI, but it's not. He's in the flesh. And so those watching on video or seeing too, you can see that it is real Tom Moody. If you want me to, I'll stab him so you can see him bleed. So we know that there's no mechanical aspects of this life. And he just got pinched. So we now know everybody is mobile and breathing, we think. We're not sure anymore. You just never know. Who would have ever thought that we have advanced this far, this fast with the capabilities of what AI is? When you can walk in a room and you can scream, hey, Google. And you can give commands. I remember back in the day being in the construction business when you walked in, and Tom, you're in real estate, and Catherine, you're in and out of so many different things. You could walk in, and they talked about smart homes and how they were going to come across, and how one day you would just show up and say, voice recognition of door open, boom, you would walk in. And kitchen, cook me this and that, and all these science fiction movies and all these things that happen. And so, wow.
It's like
we're
the Jetsons.
Almost there. It's the Jetsons, you know? And we have the boy Elroy with us today, you know what I mean? So it's fun to think about the possibilities, but man, it's a little scary too. So when you start looking at it, let's talk about some of the devices. Let's see how we already are using it. And you may be out there in Wonderland listening, if you will, and say, well, I just don't trust it and I don't use it. Well, some of the fact that you're even listening right now, it could be on an app, it could be on your phone, it could be on a smartphone, it could be on your smart TV, whatever it is. Even if you have power in your house and your HVAC is working from a thermostat that is AI controlled, and I could go, we're going to get into some stuff. Whether you want to or not, you're contributing to the usage of AI. Tom, does that scare you?
No, it really doesn't, because there's nothing I can do about it. What's intriguing, though, is if following up on what you said about how quickly it's gotten here and how quickly it's evolving, imagine what it's going to be like a couple of years from now. That's the crazy part. Or even with automobiles, about there will be no more valet eventually. Hypothetically, there doesn't even have to be steering wheels. I mean, you can roll up to a restaurant now, get out of your car, tell your car where to go park. You go into the restaurant. Think about this. You're never going to forget where you parked your car anymore. You know?
You just call it like you call your dog.
That's right. There was a dude walking across the parking lot the other day at the grocery store, and he was looking for his car, and he had his cell phone in his hand. And I said, bro, I promise you, your phone knows where your car is. He was like, oh, yeah. And he looked at his phone, pressed a couple buttons, and he walked right to it. So just to echo what you're saying, you're in it. You're a part of it. It doesn't matter. In the old days, they really had to do research, especially in your field. Where do I want to advertise this product? Who's going to see it? We don't have to do that anymore because I can search for painting garage floors right now. And by the time I get home, I'm going to be bombarded with garage floor ads. And so I'm telling the world what I want. And then I shouldn't be surprised that it's being delivered to me. So what I think is hilarious, though, is that we use the word artificial intelligence. That's like an invented word. Because when I was a kid, when you took a test, it was like, can we use the calculator?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you could, sometimes you couldn't. But it's the same thing. This is all that. This is all a telephone. It's all communication that has evolved and evolved and evolved and evolved. And I trust the calculator when I ask it what 35 times 15 is. I hope it's right, but I don't know that it's right. So it's the same thing. You want to fight it? God bless. The only thing you can really do, in my opinion right now, is you just embrace it. You learn from it. My wife's a RN. You guys all know that. They live and die by it at the hospital. They're doing miraculous things. They're not questioning. They're not waiting on answers is what I should say. The answers are right there on their phones. Jade comes home every single day and says, this happened 10 times faster than it happened 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So do you take the good? Do you take the bad? Are we going to abuse it? The answer is yes. We're going to abuse it. So, but I kind of like it. I in every industry, the entertainment industry, singing, dancing, you name it, it's there. Can you make your job easier? Probably. But it's nothing surprises me anymore. You know?
I can go along with that. In fact, you know, prior to coming on air here, we were discussing how Catherine Madden was going to open a new line of appliances. and it was hysterical, which I want you to share, Catherine, as to how you got to that conclusion that you needed an AI division of Catherine Madden Enterprises that has to do with washing machines. Please exaggerate.
Well, we were talking about how sometimes appliances, the way they originally were made, were better. They've advanced things so far to the point that what they think is helping us is actually hurting us. So I told you about my experience of my wonderful, wonderful quality of starting one task and beginning a new task and having 17 projects going on at once and nothing getting completed, one of which being doing laundry, and it's starting to, the water starting to fill, and I go off to do something else, and then it does its automatic drain the load, and there's 3 articles of clothing in there because I didn't finish loading, and so nothing got washed. And back in the day, you know, 80s and 90s, your washer machine would fill up, and then it just wait till you shut that lid, and then it will wash it. Whether it's 3 days, 4 days, 10 days, didn't matter. Which was great if you had, like, you ran out of water. That's what they used to tell you to do. Fill up your washing machine with water.
That's true.
And let it sit there so you could boil water, bathtub. Yeah. You can't do that anymore. It's going to drain itself. But I just think sometimes what, maybe it's the person they put head over designing this stuff. They don't ask a mom of 3, like, hey, what would be the best benefits that you would like? I would say, do not drain
let's my start, washer. That's the new appliance line that we're discussing here.
Can we start with the washing machine?
Yes, let's start there, top of the list. Sorry, no, those other things, that medical enhancements, not important. Washing machine first, friends. But I think that sometimes we lose sight in what we, with all this AI, what we're actually giving to consumers, what we're giving to the community, what we're giving to the individual that we're hoping to benefit. By that, I mean, think about the things that are they making it better? Are we making them better? Or are we kind of putting a pause on them learning life skills, as we were talking before the show? We were talking about children and getting into the laundry machine and putting their hands in the bleach and burning themselves. And they didn't do that again. They learned their lesson. But if they never touched it, they never knew that, oh, that hurts. I'll never do that. So when mom's not around, I won't test it by myself. So I think there's a lot of life skills that my generation and generations before that may have learned because we didn't have the assistance of all these safety parameters that were out there. And now we're too worried about putting everyone in a bubble and creating these AI safeguards on everything. So I think that's a big lesson that maybe we should pause for a second and wonder, are we helping or are we hurting?
Well, you know, that's always been the question here on this. When we discuss these items, it's always been the idea of, is it better? Or is it worse? Again, do you trust it or do you mistrust it? You know, you were talking about that. And again, we were talking about the evolution of smart homes and all those things. But now your automobile. Catherine, you went shopping this weekend to get a few cars and all, and what the capabilities are. I mean, I've got a new vehicle out here, a 25 model, that I can literally get in and tell it where to drive. And it'll make every turn, adjust feet, pass people. Now, it'll do all these things that you as a person through skill and through experience will do. The problem is if you take your eyes off the road even while it's doing it or even while you're driving, you'll get this warning. All of a sudden, your rear end starts shaking because the seat's vibrating and it's telling you, pay attention, wait, stop and get a cup of coffee. And so it's all these things that it'll tell you what to do, you know. And I can remember my father when things first started coming on to those things. When he bought a car and the first one that came in and would not stop binging until you put your seatbelt on. Well, that's not where it originated. What it originated was, fasten your seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt. Now it just dings. So we have advanced beyond that. My father would have the greatest conversation with that voice of, I don't want to fasten my seatbelt. I know where I'm going. I'm only going to be in the car. And I'm like, Dad, they're not going to respond. Well, we're now to the age where you can talk to Google and you could talk to all these fantastic devices that have modernized things, and here we sit with, they will talk back.
You better believe it.
And they're listening at all times to anything you say and do. So the smart houses, the smart cars, the smart appliances, the smart phones, the smart TVs, you can grab a remote anymore, you know, and you can just tell it what you're looking for, and boom, there it pops up, and there it is. So it comes to the point where you mentioned that about a valet and all this other. Well, are we going to get to the point where we don't need driver's license? But, you know, you mentioned the medical field with your wife, which I think is where, to me, is some of the most amazing advances. In fact, I was meeting with somebody today, and they were saying that, you know, they were of age, and they were having a medical procedure, a mammogram, and they were saying that it picked up some microscopic things early on, and it was an AI interpretation through an X-ray, which is fabulous. That's amazing. What you can do with blood tests now. You know, I had a grandfather that passed away at 62 from diabetes and different health elements that was just within a few years after that. Could have saved his life and he could have lived a longer period of time. And so, yes, our life expectancies and our tendencies. But as you say, and again, Tom, you mentioned it comes with a risk. And the risk is how much of your personal space, knowledge, voice, consideration, actions, habits are now in algorithms. We've talked on this show before about you can't go search something without forever and a day on every social media content. It's going to give you ads pertaining to exactly what you're looking for. It's going to think for you. Some of that I like, some of that I don't like. It's the invasion of a private kind of scenario, but it is the world we're in. So we have to decide. So, and I got to ask the question, which is another we'll get back to maybe on another sequel to this, is that affecting our mental health? You kind of touched on it with the habits and the training of who we are. Are we experiencing life in its fullest with what we can become? Are we just totally dependent on AI?
So medical, let me touch on that for a second. So one of the things that we discussed was in the medical industry, how its advance is great. But I think sometimes what we forget about is AI makes decisions based upon information it has available. Facts, statistics, likelihoods. But then a human has...
Individual.
Yeah. They know circumstances and they have intuition. It's like being in a surgery and AI says the likelihood of them making it through the surgery based upon their age, weight, health, heart condition is very low. Do not perform surgery. But the doctor says, you know what? I think we got a shot. So we go with AI because AI says it's a very low likelihood. But the doctor said, I can do this. So I think that's where we pause for a second and say, hold on. Why are we giving so much weight and so much privilege to something that's not real to make decisions that are life-altering?
The greatest computer AI, if you will, you know, in this world, and it's not AI, it's not artificially, it's God-made, is the human brain. There's nothing more fantastic than that. Yes, we can speed up things. We can make life easier. But, Tom, I got to ask you, when you start talking about communication and personal things, and we got a whole list in front of us of digital assistants and smart home automation, and you flip the page over and travel, commuting, and transportation, media and consumer entertainment, and banking and safety and healthcare. You mentioned you're in it, got to be a part of it. But, Tom, what scares you?
I don't know about anything truly scaring me, but what I think is interesting, and I keep on thinking about the future of this, you know. I've pretty much made the decision that we're always being filmed and there are no secrets, you know.
Yeah, very much so.
That's just kind of the way it is. I'm not trying to fight it. You probably could if you wanted to, but you had mentioned earlier about just feeling frazzled sometimes and running your life and running your household and trying to get this done and trying to get this done and staying on top of everything and getting the kids here when they got to be there and so on and so forth. But we all had that friend, or we still have the friend or the uncle or whoever that... Remember when watches first came digital and your uncle was the first one? And there's always that one person in their life that's the first one that's got to have this thing. Have you seen this iPhone thing? You know, I mean, everybody, there's somebody that's always the first thing. And now they're so easy and they're not cool anymore. They're mandatory. But robots are coming to the degree that they're going to be nannies. They're going to live with us. Either you're going to embrace it or you're not. But we got computers right here. We got right here an entire film studio.
Correct.
Anything we want. This thing can do everything. And it's not cheap, but we make it so affordable. We think it's free. People are like, even my children, we'll just get one of them phones. It's free, right? Because all they see all the advertisement. Sign up, it's free. Everything's free. But...
You got to watch them advertising people.
That's right. Are robots really the next thing? A real manageable? Are they going to now help you on your job? Think of how many times I know your children where you're asking for a wrench and they give you the wrong wrench. Or you're asking for this or you're asking for that. You're training these boys to begin men and now they're assisting you in expanding your business even more. When is that assistant going to be a robot? When are you going to send him? We're already go and do home inspections with drones. You know as well as I do. It happens right now. In real estate, they don't climb on a roof anymore. They just send the drone up there.
Once again,
it's better.
It is.
And it's certainly safer. So my point is, I think that I'm just embracing it. I'm just going along with the flow. You know, I really do. And is there going to be a point in time where, kind of echoing what you said, is AI going to be a better surgeon? Maybe. Why not?
They're already doing laser surgeries. Yeah, you can opt into that.
Why wouldn't they be better? You know, that's fine. Are we going to allow them to make the decision? I mean, this is going to be an Orson Welles movie. You know, if we just think it's going to go that direction, and it could be. You know, maybe the enemy. Maybe we're building the enemy right now. I'm not a conspiracy theorist type of a guy, so that's why I think that, you know, when they built the train, this whole nation fought it, and they thought that horses. And buggies were going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And then the train came, and it took a minute. And they said, nobody's going to have a job anymore. And then they built a car, and they said, nobody's going to ride the train. But trains are still a main part of moving stuff.
Correct.
Cheaper than anything. Mm-hmm. So things don't necessarily go away. People don't lose jobs. There's industry, you know? So I'm just excited that I'm a part of it. I like our age that, as opposed to being born into this thing like our children or our little sisters that were born with, instead of giving them a rattle, you give them a cell phone. John, you and I got to see it from the very beginning.
That's correct.
We got to see the evolution. Sometimes that people think that makes us dumber, but at least we got to see it. You know, it's like the old T-shirt that says, I might be old, but I got to see all the good bands. You know, I remember when 8-tracks came out and everybody was like, whoa, you know, we got to see the evolution. So who am I to step in and say, okay, it's enough?
But I have to ask too, I think that you bring up a valid point because your generation knows how to live without all of the technology.
Agreed.
My fear is with too much AI interference, yep, that the generation now will never know how to do things without it.
They may not.
The day comes, it's going to come, yep, when stuff malfunctions. We've seen it where the internet goes down and people are like, oh my gosh, how do I get to this place? I don't know how to use a map. What is this? How do I even know what I'm looking at? Yep. They don't know how to use the tools and their own noggin to figure things out and to brainstorm and to figure out solutions on their own because they are never taught because AI or phones or technology always did it for them. So I think that we're actually hurting this next, you and I will be fine because we'll just take out a pen and paper and do the math.
That's correct.
But that next generation is going to say 5 times 3. What does that mean? That's scary because when the day comes that technology has a or whatever, there's a glitch or whatever, you know, something gets bombed and it's like, you know, World War Z or whatever. I don't know. There's always options and possibilities that could be a detriment to society because they won't know how to survive without.
You know, you watch so many times, you talk about sports and all that, you know, you love to hear. I was listening to something the other day, Nolan Ryan. He was like the 12th round draft pick for, I don't even remember who it was, the man pitched 6 no-hitters, arguably one of the greatest pitchers ever, that if the analyzation would have been done by computer-wise, and this is what the guy was talking about, in today's analytics of athletes and their capabilities, there's something missing here called a human spirit, but I'm going to get back to that. This man would have never been drafted. He would have never been given the opportunity. So we can become so analytically concurrent with modern technology in terms of those types of things and so dependent that we actually lose the human factor of having to process through things. Learn from your mistakes. Remember those things? Well, if AI is what it is and what everybody's leaning towards, there will be no mistakes. It becomes a deity amongst itself. Now, I'm not trying to get off on a weird filter, but you can never get past the human spirit. You can't, and the ability of humanity in and all that it is to garner that technology, grab it, pull out increments that are processing that make your life better, but never lose the personal aspects. The things you have to go through to get better, you'll never know. Yeah, you can have something print you out of paper and a computer pop up and tell you what the results are going to be, but having never experienced it, I think that we're begin to lose some human nature, thus the term artificial intelligence. It's not just artificial intelligence. It's artificial learning. Tom, final comments?
I used to live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I met this lady that she bought a house off me, and she was 35. She was an attorney, and she was trying to get her driver's license. And she had never had a driver's license because she was from New York. She lived in Manhattan her whole life. She just never drove anywhere.
And transit, you know? Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And but she was really anxious about it. Passed the bar, you know, was getting ready to buy a $500,000 house at the time. Very confident in that, but nervous about getting a driver's license. So I say that to say that I agree 100% that we are going to be a product of our environment. But it's if we really want to tell our 10-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, grandchildren, children, nieces, nephews, whatever, explain to them that there is another way, that there's something else that you may be missing. Maybe we got to take them camping. Maybe we got to do this. Maybe we got to do that. I agree wholeheartedly. So what is missing then? What have we sucked out of there? Have we sucked out this communication thing, this feeling thing, this ability to argue? How about, and I'll just say this, like you said about the Nolan Ryan thing. It was like, well, hold on, let me look it up. Then we'll know exactly where he went to school, where who rounded, what his records are within seconds. You can't even have a good argument anymore.
You can't, you know, because you it can be verifiable.
Everything's verifiable, you know. Right here, let me look it up. I'll tell you who the best actor was in that movie in 1945, instead of discussing it and laughing about it and arguing about it for 20 minutes, you know. So I hopefully that never goes away. But it's going to be up to us who have seen it. But it's the same thing. We could go on and on. Little House on the Prairie, you know. I don't know how to make cornmeal from scratch. But I can look it up. I can watch YouTube videos and figure it out because it's out there.
And Tom, we're probably grateful for that. You know, we don't need Tom's cornmeal out on the shelf.
Catherine has a ring to it. I don't know.
Yes, I love the idea.
I like the Catherine Madden appliance division.
Well, I would say they just recently came out in the news and said that Ford hired back 350 employees. They were veteran engineers that they let go due to replacing their jobs with AI. Hmm. But they just hired them back. And the reason they said was that they could not match the experience and judgment of the seasoned employees with AI. So to me, I think the whole moral to it is let it enhance your life. Do not let it replace anything in your life. And if you use that to decide if AI is appropriate for whatever use you're hoping to use it in, I think you'll have your answer if it's appropriate and it should be used. Because if you're replacing something completely, then maybe you should rethink it. But if you're enhancing it, making it better, but using humans still to be that factor to decide the final say, I think that that's a good idea, that you're enhancing it and making it better by maybe something you can't accomplish without it.
That's great. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe we've peaked. Maybe it's maxed out.
You know, my father used to have a saying as we close this segment of Real Talk today, and it's been a wonderful conversation. Situation alters all things. And when you sit and think about that, inevitably make an intelligent decision on how artificial intelligence involves your life. Good morning, everybody. The show is Real Talk with Catherine Madden and Tom Moody. We hope we brighten your day. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church, a ministry that loves this community. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.